Largest Radio.
My favorite dessert is cake. Cake's a true symbol of gluttony, though. If you eat a whole pizza, people are like, wow, you were hungry. But if you eat a whole cake, people are like, you got a problem. It's not like drinking. You never hear someone brag, yeah, last night I had four pieces of cake. Why are you telling us? Just want you to know I partied.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Away from the online marketing Kool-Aid bar.
Gentlemen, you look great.
Genuine 160 proof old Anglo-Saxon, baby.
Get into it.
Get down with this.
Enjoy the refreshing, cool, crisp taste of proven business and marketing strategies, tactics, trends, and techniques.
Give me a break, will you?
How exciting is that?
I am a man what don't believe in embarrassing lady folks.
I'm home.
I am not in the mood.
I'm sad.
I'm not shy.
I do not apologize.
Is that too much?
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Is this behavior possible?
Let's have a party.
Let's make love.
Ready on the lights, on the action, on the camera.
I'd like to see the man in charge.
My lips are sealed.
Seems like a long summer hiatus for the Strategist Radio the last couple of weeks. Tell you what we're doing for the next couple of months. 602 West Coast, Monday, third day of August 2015. And if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Today on the program, we'll talk about success strategy, how to strategically complete any business goal. Is it possible to complete every and all business goals? Check in on that during this edition of the program today. And we'll talk about the Five Forces competitive strategy. Every day in business is a battle for market share. We've got to understand the competitive forces out there. We'll talk about that on this edition of the program. Also, how to accurately decide upon a unique name for your business and how to become an influencer across your field. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live for your Monday. So we're on summer schedule now, which means the program is only going live on Mondays. All the archives are still available on the hub at tjmarino.com. Help yourself there. This weird thing a couple of weeks ago, this little like growth in my mouth, kind of down there by my wisdom tooth on my lower left. And it's like this little rock appeared, kind of like a tooth kind of came through on the gum. And so my tongue has been rubbing up against this serrated edge. The good news is I got to go to the dentist the other day, and he went in with this little drill thing and just kind of shaved off the little piece, made it all smooth, and I feel so much better now. Thank you, Doc. You're amazing. You're just absolutely. I always get apprehensive whenever I go to, I don't know if you feel like that. Yeah. Going to the dentist, so I always have the white knuckle. I'm holding onto the handle of the chair, you know, ready to just start sliding around on my elbows. But I got a great doctor, great technique, great style, and it was wonderful. So now I feel so much better. It's like I feel like the lion that just got the thorn removed from the paw. So that's really groovy. I hope everything's going great at your end of the woods. And listen, love to hear from you. Thank you so much for your concerns, your emails. Hey, where have you been? What's going on, Marino? Hey, anytime, send me an email, support at tjmarino.com. You can also track me on social media, particularly on Google+. We've got redirects here for you, tjmarino.com/lowercase g and the plus sign. on Twitter, tjmoreno.com/Twitter, and on LinkedIn, tjmoreno.com/LinkedIn. Let's stay connected. Lots to talk about on the program today. We're going to discuss specific and practical activities to ensure that you're able to strategically compete any business goal. Now, goal setting is one thing, but goal implementation, measurement, and management add a whole new formula for ensuring that your business goals are smart. And we're going to talk about being specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely today on the program. And let's just talk first a little bit about Dr. Michael Porter's five competitive strategies. It's basically, we're looking at these forces, right? And these are the forces that surround you while you're in business. And these forces range from these five, according to Dr. Porter's Five Forces Competitive Strategy, which he authored back in 1979, and just continues to be taught and used in today's circa, business circa. Potential entrants, customers, their competitors, substitutes, that's competition. The suppliers, competitors, and also your rivals. A lot of times we think it's just the rival within our particular industry, right? There's this vertical. Well, there's a lot more competition horizontally as well. So I thought I would just share a few of these with you, or talk a little bit about the five forces, just to be kind of wet your whistle, kind of get you a little bit familiar if you're not already familiar with Dr. Porter's five forces. And really, this plays favorably when you're doing feasibility studies, when you're scanning the external environment as you're entering a new industry, developing a new business, really in the spirit of entrepreneurship. So let's take a look first at your rivals. Now, this is the most natural consideration when discussing the competition. Successful hospitality establishments are always looking at what the competition is doing and how they're doing it. It is in this mindset that we usually work through what we call that SWOT analysis. Remember, strengths, weaknesses, opportunity, and threats, SWOT, internal and external forces. You look at Mary Beth and Alfonso. They may need to consider what their competition is doing and are the changes they are considering facilitating. Is it going to put them in a better position to succeed? What about potential entrants in the industry? Who can come into the industry? Let's say you've been there for 2 years. What are the barriers to entry? Are they low barriers to entry? When assessing your potential entrance into the market, the potential competition, that is, for instance, if we're looking at the hospitality industry, and it doesn't really matter what industry you're in. I'm just using hospitality here as kind of a, you know, just kind of a foundation. But this really applies to any type of business model in any industry. Hospitality establishment must consider more than just the current competition. It's got to look at competition that doesn't yet exist. And it's wise to examine where these potential entry points are and then develop strategies to address those as they happen, as opposed to addressing them after the fact. So it becomes a matter of acting or reacting. You got to choose. Let's look at Mary Beth, the restaurant owner, who's considering expanding her establishment. Got a plan for a new competition, new competitor down the road. Even though she may have her current competition figured out, she also has to consider what is coming up around the corner. Next, we have to look at our customers. They're actually competitors of ours. You may say, how's that true? Customers are always going to have a certain amount of power in business. And it's critical, in terms of mistake, to assume that the customer has no choices. Now, while it may seem counterintuitive to view customers as competition, this is what they are. They have bargaining power. And with that power, they have the ability to affect the company's bottom line. Now, if Alfonso wants to purchase new equipment for his cafe, what kind of impact will that have on the customer? Will the customer approve of the changes, or will they go somewhere else? Next is substitutes. Someone may not be as good as you, but to the perception of the consumer market, they may see a substitute as being a viable competitor of yours. And you've got to be mindful of these substitutes. Are customers willing to use an alternative to your product or service? Is the service or product your hospitality establishment? Should you be in that industry? Offer that customer something that the customers can't do without. Is your product or service all or nothing? Or can you cater to a customer who needs something different than what you traditionally offer? Now, these are all things that must be considered in the planning process. I mean, will the economy have a negative impact on Mary Beth's newly expanded establishment? Will customers order what they've always ordered? Will they go out fewer times each month to offset maybe a bad economy? So this is why substitutes and recognizing who could come along into the marketplace is essential. And finally, suppliers, where you're getting your goods and services from. They're also competitors. Vendors and suppliers are the lifeblood of most companies. And there should always be a consideration about whether, in this case, a hospitality establishment is getting the most out of its vendors and suppliers. It quite literally pays to examine your relationship with your vendors. Alfonso is always looking for better deals from his vendors. The restaurant business, it might be, can I get fresher bread from a different supplier? Can I get a better price from a supplier? Should I change gears? And so we have to take a look at the suppliers. Who is in the marketplace supplying? And they actually have power over the decision-making process relative to competition. So, five forces. Potential entrants, barriers to entry, high, low. Who are they? Who could come along? Who are the customers? How can they affect your business? What about substitutes? Market perceptions. Suppliers, how can they affect your business, good or bad? And finally, your direct rivalry within the industry. More details on this, and actually Dr. Porter's video can be found on the Hub by visiting TJMoreno.com. Monday morning, third day of August. Happy summer to you. Coming up next week on the program, next Monday, the 10th, we'll talk about startup strategy and how to ensure your business is ready for launch. All ahead on next week's edition on Monday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Live. Get all the details on the Hub at tjmoreno.com. Plus, if you miss any portion of any of these programs live, we turn the programs after the live airing into podcast format, and you can help yourself. All the archives are found on the Hub at tjmoreno.com. All there for you for free. Let's talk about naming your business. Sounds easy, right? You're pretty clever. You're pretty creative. But there's a lot more that goes into naming relative to your strategic brand development. Sasha Strauss checks in and gives us a few additional ideas on the naming phase of your strategic brand development.
Because most people start with naming. They think that they could come up with a business idea and name it immediately. And you have to respect that that's an incredibly daunting task. I don't know anybody who is actually that great at coming up with a name in an instant, which means that there must be a process to building a name. In fact, you have to ask yourself what you ultimately intend to do with the name, because there's not such thing as a cool name. I'm sorry, but I've never seen one, and I've never heard an example by anyone. I mean, is Coca-Cola a great name? Coca is an affiliation with cocaine, which used to be a core ingredient in cola. Is that a good name? Or how about people like, oh, I want a name like Google. You don't even know what a Google is. It sounds like a baby babbling, doesn't it? Right? But a Googleplex is the number one followed by 100 zeros, a large number representing all the data that Google is sorting through. Okay, now I get it. Or Nike, you want a name like Nike. It's mispronounced in most countries around the world. Most people say Nike. You see that you have this affiliation with what you think a good name is, and unfortunately you're biased based on the experience you have with the brand. Because you have a relationship with Starbucks, because you have a relationship with Ferrari, you think that the name is good, but in the truth, you actually are just using it as a reference point. So when you think about a name, the intention really has to be, it's a trigger. It's just a starting point of a relationship. Hopefully people will say the name, hear the name, be able to pronounce the name, and then it just triggers a whole bunch of affiliations. So like I said, Nike a second ago, and all of you probably went off into this distant land. You started thinking of athletes and uniforms and Seattle, right? You kind of went all over the place with it. That's because they've taken their name and they've affiliated with a lot of things, things that you as a target consumer love. So when you're trying to pick a name, you really have to decide what you want it to represent more than anything. And there's a process to go through, and I'll make it really, really quick and simple. As I just described, you have to decide what position in the market you intend to claim with this name. Literally, what place are we going to call home? Okay, once you've studied that well, who are all the competitors? What are their names like, right? Are they long? Are they short? Are they funny? Are they colorful, right? Get a sense of those organizations so you don't come up with a name that sounds similar. And then once you've done that, you have to go through a series of brainstorming processes. And the brainstorming process works like this. You basically have to tell yourself there's not such thing as a wrong answer. The name process requires up to about 1,000 names to find the best one. So that means you're gonna have to let yourself go. You don't get to say that's a stupid name or that name doesn't work for these 9 reasons. You just want to get the ideation process started. And the best way to start is to write a 5-word sentence that describes your business. In fact, not even a sentence. Give me 5 words. Let's take Amazon Kindle. Okay, let's just say that we were going to name that together. All right, first we have to ask ourselves, what's the position in the market that we're trying to claim, right? So go ahead and do that for yourself. What's the position? All right, great. What are the names of all the competitive devices, right? Ding, ding, you know this. Put it on the wall. Don't try to remember it. Put it on the wall. Now you know what names are distracting. You know what names people say most often. Why do they say them most often, etc. And now you're going to get into a place where you're going to describe the function of the Amazon Kindle, right? And maybe the function is how the screen works. Maybe it's how easy it is to port information on and off of it, right? Whatever those descriptions are, give yourself those words. And this is where the ideation really comes in. Once you've picked a word, let your mind wander. Think about all the things that you affiliate with that word. So if the word was portable with Kindle, right? Anybody in the room want to scream one out, please say a word. But portable, small, light, easy to pack, right? Just let yourself wander. Let all of those concepts come out of your consciousness, and do not constrain yourself. Don't say no. Don't say bad. Just get them all out. And you'll notice what starts to happen here is you start to back away from your product's function and more into the effect that it's going to have on people, how they're going to feel about your product or service, right? So as you go about that process, think about it. We just picked five words or so, and you're creating these long list of concepts. Now you get to play pick and match. Wow, this concept and this concept work really well together. I'm going to come up with a word which means, well, this device is supposed to get people to imagine and read and think creatively. I want to ignite their understanding because reading is about ignition of consciousness. I know we're going to kindle. We're going to kindle their thoughts through content consumption on this magnificent device. That's why we should call it the Amazon Kindle. Right? Let yourself go through that process, and only then will you arrive at a destination. And if you're watching this video, then I ask you, do not land without at least 10 names. Half of them are going to get booted as soon as you start searching the internet. Stop by the website USPTO.gov, United States Patent and Trademark Office.gov. You can conduct a search and find out if there's a trademark already in place for the name that you've just created. Go to Google or any search engine and type in those terms and see who else is using that vocabulary. And eventually you'll get down to a minimum of 3 names. Eventually, when you decide on a name, you have to file for a trademark. And there's tons of ways to go about doing that. You can use resources like LegalZoom, or you can hire an attorney to do it. But once you get those names, do not use them until you have gotten permission back from your legal counsel. Because whatever you think you're trying to grow with your business, one trademark infringement will put you out of business. And that's why it's so important to go through that competitive research. It's so important to think about what you're trying to accomplish. So important to think about all the words that you would affiliate so that when you pick that name, you believe in it. It's different. And when you try to register the domain, secure the trademark, and eventually promote it to the market, you don't have anything to worry about. You know that it's right. And now you can focus on your business.
Strategist Radio.
That's Sasha Strauss. He's so smart, isn't he? You're pretty smart, too. I come in third. I'm just the monkey boy. Yeah, I'm so glad to be with you this morning. For your Monday, 21 after 6 right now on the West Coast, we're broadcasting live, where we talk about how to strategically compete and complete, should I say, any business goal. Let's talk about how to become an influencer. WP Elevation co-founder Troy Dean checks in and offers some tips on how to become an influencer in your niche by leveraging the prestige that your market's top influencers already have.
Everyone talks about becoming an authority or becoming an influencer in your market. And we know why that's important, because people buy from people they trust, and people trust influencers. So the quickest way I've learned, or the quickest way I've discovered to becoming an influencer in your space, which instantly builds trust in yourself and your brand, is to leverage the influence that the top 20 influencers already have. So for example, if you can identify who the top 20 rock stars are, if you like, in your niche, and if you can interview them on your blog or on a podcast or by way of video, and get them to share your content, then you will instantly become a top 20 influencer because the top 20 influencers are sharing your content. So for example, if I was going after accountants again, I would be, if they were my target market, I would be finding who the top 20 industry influencers are in the accounting space where I live, and I'd be reaching out to every single one of them and trying to get them on a podcast or interview them on my blog, and then getting them to share that blog post or that podcast with their audience. Instantly, they're introducing me to the accountants, and I don't have to try and fight to build the trust with the accounting fraternity because all the influencers are introducing me and building the trust for me. So that's the real key takeaway there, is to leapfrog yourself into a position of influencer by leveraging the influence that the top 20 already have.
Strategist Radio.
Something my clients hear me say over and over again. You know, you can go out and spend a bunch of money on advertising, but why not get some earned media by leveraging the lists of others? It's brilliant. It's smart. It's measurable. It's profitable. Leveraging. Let's talk about success strategy and how to strategically complete any business goal. You know, oftentimes we get confused between the difference between activity and productivity, being productive rather than just being willy-nilly active. So there's some things we need to do, particularly when it seems like our time is evaporating far quicker than it used to. Doesn't it seem that way? It's like all of a sudden time is just, it's Christmas again, and it's Christmas again, and it's Christmas again. Every time we turn around, it's like, boom, the day's gone. So we've only got what seems like this very small window to get our business goals completed, solve our problems, satisfy our needs. Okay, there's only so much bandwidth you've got every single day. So highly productive entrepreneurs, we're not special. We just have learned a new way, or a way that helps us, and you may have your own processes to help you get what you need to get done more efficiently, more accurately, because not only do you want to not have it done efficiently, or you want to have it done on a timely basis, but you want to make sure that it's right. Otherwise, you have to go back and redo it again. And there goes the activity versus productivity model. So here's some steps that you can apply, consider, to help you achieve any goal. One of the things I like to do is I like to compartmentalize. So make it smaller. Look at one thing at a time. The vision of the goal has to be, for instance, maybe it's has to start out big and even a little vague. But when you then shrink it down, reverse engineer it, and break it into part by part, in other words, you look at a whole automobile, or you try to eat the elephant in one bite, it's easier to eat it one bite at a time. So make the task smaller. Break it into bits. Just like when you think of your target audience. Segment it. Make it smaller. The smaller market you go after from your big population of your entire total target audience, the segment might be far smaller, and it's a lot more cost-effective as you're testing your advertising. Okay, so make it smaller. Make it reasonable. Make your goal achievement process reasonable, which means realistic. If you're making $2,500 consistently a month, then could bumping the year-end goal to $10,000 a month actually be something that you could believe? I mean, it doesn't get you to a million this year, but maybe you move it in increments. So make your increments reasonable. What can I really get done today? Another way of doing it I like to do is make it known. Tell everybody what you're going to do. Great way to achieve any goal is to get the right support for your journey. So let people know. Talk about it. Repeat it over and over and over again. Verbalize it. Visualize it. Hold yourself more accountable when you share with others. Because then they're going to say, how's that coming along? Hold your feet to the fire. Speak it. Believe it and become it. Make it known. You've got to make it trackable. If it's not, if you can't measure it, it's not worth doing. So you got to break your goals into smaller benchmarks. And this will help to create action plans to smaller events that will eventually have a cumulative effect toward the big overall landscape, the big picture. This is a great tactic in terms of actions, but it's also a good tactic to help you put some metrics and measurement into your task. So can you, if you don't measure it and you're midway through it, you won't know if you need to make course corrections. You won't know what it is you need to refine, to reform, to get yourself back on the track, or to make adjustments. Remember, we're always needing to be nimble, needing to be dynamic, expecting change and embracing it. And finally, you got to have a good time. You got to have a good time when you're in the process of completing any business goal. As you meet your benchmarks, maybe you're going to set up these celebratory moments to enjoy these mini victories as you achieve each of these steps. You know, take tracking the process. Make it fun. Make it meaningful. The more fun you can have along the way, the less it's like a job and the less pressure you're going to feel. The purpose of any goal isn't just to achieve it, but often it's to integrate it into your business culture, into your business strategy, into the implementation of your tactical and strategical activities on a daily basis so that you can effectively achieve these goals. And this process also works very nicely even in your personal life. So check it out. Next week on the program, I'll see you next Monday live. Check out the archives. They're all available on the site at tjmoreno.com. Next Monday for the 10th Startup Strategy, how to ensure your business is ready for launch, and much, much more. God bless you. Go out and love somebody. Make it a great week. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on The Strategist Radio Live.